Welcome to Inside Voice. Join hosts, friends, and voice actors Louise Porter, that's me, and Brad Grahowski as we navigate the freelance world while simultaneously being massive introverts. We ask the age-old question, how do you put yourself out there when literally the last thing you want to do is put yourself out there? Find out what earth-shattering conclusions we come to on this week's edition of Inside Voice. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Louise.
How's it going?
Happy day.
Happy day.
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. It's been sort of a slow week work-wise, but I've been doing more like bookkeeping kind of stuff, tax stuff, which, you know, not the funnest, but needs to be done. So I'm partially sort of grateful for a little bit of a slowdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the not fun part of freelancing, right?
Like running your own business. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's, I
small
guess,
business. Yeah.
You can also say marketing is the not fun. You can also say networking is the not fun part, I guess.
Yep.
But we just have all these pieces and parts that are part of the job, part of the business that aren't recording. And
they can be a struggle, right? Like,
yeah.
These are things that you have to learn as you go. And I always remind myself, and I know I've said this before, I'm sort of sounding like a broken record, is like you could wait to have everything dialed in and try to be as prepared and as perfect at every single aspect of running a small business, but you would never start.
Yep.
So
that's right.
It's, you know, you just at some point you've got to dive in and be like, okay, I'm just going to have to figure some of this out as I go along and, you know, inevitably probably make a lot of mistakes and get frustrated and all those things.
Yeah. And not let the enemy be the perfect be the enemy of the good enough or whatever. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, wait, say that again. Cause that's, I don't know if I've heard
really?
That one.
Oh, yeah.
Mine is progress over perfection. So what's yours?
Don't let perfection be the enemy of good enough. Like,
don't let perfection be the enemy of good enough. Okay.
Yeah. I may have that a slightly wrong, but that's the gist of it. Like, it's like, don't let your insistence on being perfect destroy your progress forward as doing it good enough, because good enough is good enough, right? There's not good enough, but good enough is good enough. And that doesn't mean good enough can't be better. But
yeah. You don't have to have every single thing sorted out right away.
Yeah.
Or I even certainly did
years
not.
Into it.
Or even
yeah, yeah.
Four
or
years
even years into it.
Exactly.
I'm trying to figure out, speaking of taxes and stuff, I'm trying to figure out right now how to do quarterly filing, because until up through 23, I'm a sole proprietor. So I just have sort of been, and we have an accountant and he knows how to do all the stuff. So I give him all of my expenses and all of my revenue and, you know, very detailed documentation. Using, by the way, not a sponsor, but voiceoverview.com for me makes it super easy to keep track of all of that. I'm just a big fan of theirs.
Nice.
And, you know, and he knows how to do all of the stuff. And he usually tells us how much of our taxes that we're paying are due to my business revenue, right?
Because you and Lacey are filing together as
exactly.
a married
and
couple.
Because I set aside... you know, every dollar I make, I set aside 33 cents. So I have a separate pool of money set aside for taxes. And then when tax time comes, what I owe from my business, I take out of that and
take
pay. And then
I'm not... I do a very similar thing. Yes.
Yeah. 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 That's sort of the recommended way to do it, right? Like,
yeah. And the quarterly thing, I think they're kind of going on a presumption, are they not?
Estimate. Yeah.
That's an estimate. That's the sort of downside, because I mean, the upside of being in business for yourself is you are you're not taxed until the end of the year, so you can spend your pre-tax, how do you explain it? You spend your pre-tax earnings for like on expenses and things, not your post-tax earnings. Mm-hmm. So in other words, let's say if you made $50,000 and you spent $10,000, if you were employed, you wouldn't be spending $10,000 out of $50,000. You'd be spending it out of the net, right? Do you know what I mean? So when you're taxed quarterly, you're sort of missing out on that advantage in a way.
Yeah, I guess so.
Even though you might get a return, do you know what I mean? It's not as...
Yeah.
The money's not yours for that period of time. So I
right.
Yeah.
I think for me, though, if I can, once I get it, I shouldn't say if I can, once I get it figured out, it'll just make it easier because I'm not, well, and here's another thing though. So I have my savings, my tax, you know, what I'm saving for taxes, I have that in a high yield, high interest rate savings account. So while I'm sitting on it, waiting for the end of the year,
exactly.
I'm getting 4% interest on that.
You pay it and then get the return, you've missed out on all that time that you could have been earning interest.
That's right.
The government's making the interest on it instead.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I just re-explained exactly what you had just explained. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I feel like you explained it in a way better way than
I did. Well, just what you said triggered it, how it's affecting me. And then,
And obviously, to anyone who's listening, we are not tax professionals, in case that wasn't completely clear.
In case anyone mistook any of that for advice,
exactly.
I wouldn't do that.
If anyone has tax advice they'd like to impart, please email us at contact@insidevoice.com.
Also,
insidevoicepodcast.com? We've got our own email address incorrect on that.
Also, it's important to note that I'm in the U.S. and you're in Canada, so taxes don't always work the same in both.
No,
but
they definitely do.
It's surprising how much they do.
Yes, there's some crossover there for sure.
Yeah. As surprising to me, and I don't want to get into this, but I just heard it on the radio and it reminded me of the time you explained to me how mortgages work different in Canada than the U.S. Because U.S., you get like a 30-year fixed rate. Canada, you guys have to renegotiate your mortgage every 3 to 5 years or something like that.
So I think you can get up to a 7-year. I think you used to be able to get 10-year mortgages, but I think it's 7 years now is the max. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it depends on whether you are doing like, if you're doing fixed rate or variable rate. Like, I think variable rate mortgages are generally shorter. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
And so even if you have a 25-year your mortgage payments are going to be based on your amortization length. So let's say 25 years. But the actual mortgage term is never 25 years.
Yeah.
So if you got in at, let's say, a really low rate, 5 years ago or whatever, let's say you got in at 2.99% or 2% or whatever, and now you're having to renegotiate right now as the interest rates have gone up, there are a lot of people who now cannot afford their mortgage payments.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize that the United States differed that way.
Yeah. So like usually here it's this is way off topic, but it's still interesting. So if we can just indulge for a second. In the U.S., it's usually either a 15 or a 30% or 30-year mortgage. Mm-hmm. And the expectation is you'll have paid off the mortgage by the end of that. It's or sold the property. So it's not like 15 years and then we renegotiate for another 15 years. Like. If
you get in at 2.99%, you're locked into that rate for the whole 25 years.
Yeah.
Which is, that's not how it works.
It works here. Or a 15 year, like if we have a 15 year mortgage, it locks it into that 2.9. And I think ours is actually a little lower than that. My wife is super smart with this stuff, way more than me. So I should ask her to help me with the quarterly filing. She'll probably be able to figure it out better than I can. I'll just cheat off her. The idea is that in 15 years, we would have paid it off at that rate, or if it's a 30-year mortgage, paid it off.
Yeah, no, it's not the same here. Every time you renegotiate, your term comes up for renewal. Every time you renew, it's at the rate that is currently being offered, even though it's and then your payments are based on whatever that length, the amortization is at. So if you started at 25 years and you're keeping up on everything, and then now you're renewing for the next 20 years, but it's still based at anyways.
The downside of this for us anyway. Like if you have a mortgage at 2.4%, right? You don't want to give that up when interest rates go up. So say interest rates go up to 5% or whatever. If we sold our house, we'd be hosed because we'd be losing that really, really sweet interest rate, and we'd have to, you know, finance the next house.
Yeah.
At the
and so a lot
rate.
Of people are in that situation right now
yeah.
in this country.
Okay.
Because yeah. interest rates have gone up and people are looking to, you know, their mortgage term is coming up for renewal and they're hooped. They can't yeah. a lot of people can't afford the monthly payments now.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting how the systems differ that way.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I apologize. I know that has nothing to do with
it's okay.
introversion, voiceover,
or
freelancing.
No. Yeah.
I will say now that the podcast is out and we have real human beings listening to it. Hi, people. It kind of hits a little different. It changes things a little bit.
Yeah, it's exciting. And it's also now I feel like it's like the reality is sort of sunk in.
Yeah.
It's like, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Like
now it's like, oh, people are.
I'm not going to suggest that we should have just kept recording them and not releasing them and just doing it for our own personal interest.
Because that's kind of what I thought might happen. I was hoping.
Totally like an introvert thing to do, right? Like,
yeah.
have this big
idea.
Like,
can I just keep this in the collection of my cassette box?
And do all the work to make it as good as you can. And then to be so intimidated to share that with the world that you just never do.
Yeah. It's like getting the sense of accomplishment from the planning of it, but not the execution.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I fall into that
so often. Okay, just on that note, I do want to give a few little shout outs to people who've been really kind in sending us messages.
Yeah.
So we had a really nice email from Troy Holden.
Yes.
Congratulating us. Veal Life Podcast.
If you're a voice actor, listen to his podcast. It's
yes.
fantastic.
Wait, but no, the name's different, right?
Oh,
another VO podcast?
Another you're right. Another VO podcast is what
and
it's
And he has a Facebook group, which is the VO Life / another VO podcast.
Yeah.
He's a lovely guy. He's a good friend of ours.
Yeah. We were kind of a trio of support for a long time. And we still are. We absolutely still are.
We call ourselves the tricycle group.
It was either that or the, there was a much more pretentious name. And I thought, there's another word for like,
I was gonna say, I don't remember that.
Like a three-part locus of power, like the tri,
you've got me stumped. I have no idea.
I bet you a number of our listeners are like, it's this, you goofball. They like know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But we were the tricycle. This is much more fun that way.
And so
I just
Troy
imagine
sent
us
both a really nice email about
tricycles
that.
Around in circles. Yeah. Thank you, Troy.
Thank you, Troy. And then Chuck Brown, he didn't send anything to you, but I was because we meet, we have a contract that we do ESL scripts together, doing it for a couple of years. So.
Yeah, we meet,
weekly and sometimes daily. And he mentioned that he was listening and enjoying. And we want to thank Chuck Brown for his support. Mm-hmm. And also, Ro Marsh sent me a message today. Thanks, Ro. She's enjoying. She's sort of said that she's identifying as a extroverted introvert. So that's might be an interesting thing to explore.
And, yeah, I think that fits into something that I wanted to, and we haven't gotten into it yet, but something that I was hoping we'd talk to today. I'm looking up on my phone right now because Ro has a podcast. Ro Motivation, it's called. Ro Motivation, the podcast.
Oh, okay, great.
And I don't...
Good to plug that. Ro Motivation, the podcast.
I think she's like, I don't know, every time I... Well, that's not an accurate way to say it. I don't know. I listen to it when she puts it out. It's a sort of a very short moment of inspiration thing.
So not an accurate way to say it in terms of it's not like a full-length podcast. It's sort of...
Yeah, no, they're very short. They're,
sound bites or... Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's fine. Okay,
yeah,
I'm going to check
that
out because I wasn't aware.
Yeah, they're like 4 to 8 minutes long. Like four, usually around 5 minutes.
Perfect. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. So thanks for everybody for your messages and listening and
We mentioned Alice Everdeen last time that she'd reached
out
to us.
We did mention Alice.
Really nice.
Thank you.
I wanted to share something. Just to sort of share personal struggles, I guess. And this is a trivial one, but I think it really exemplifies how Lacey and I were talking and we're trying to figure out what to do. Tomorrow night is Friday and we have two choices, right? One option, we have reservations to go to a local diner that's having a noodle night. So they've got like a bunch of noodle dishes that they're making. So it would just be her and I and dinner. And that sounds super lovely. And I really would enjoy that. The alternative is my cousin's wife. My cousin and his wife are super uber like hip, cool millennials. They're like, wait, I think my wife and I are pretty cool. We have lots of friends. We do lots of socializing stuff. My cousin and his wife are like way cooler than us. And she owns a vintage clothing shop. And they're kind of like, you know, very super popular in Baltimore kind of thing. But because I'm family, we usually get invited to their parties and stuff. We probably would not if we were family. Her shop is doing a monthly party, and this month it just happens to be on her birthday, so it's a special birthday thing. And so it's like, mm-hmm. Do we go to the dinner where it's just the two of us and we, you know, eat good food and we just sort of get to have a nice, like, that's a perfect introverts kind of thing.
Right.
Versus going to a social event where we probably won't know anybody but my cousin and his wife. But there'll be lots of cool hip people there. And I do find enjoyment in that as long as I can approach it in my own way. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to go to the party. I think we are because, I mean, one, it's family and it's a birthday, I think it will be fun. And the people that they know are really super cool and really super neat. And so they're neat. It's kind of like fun to hang out in that environment for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of struggling with the third reason why I picked it. And so I'm curious what you might think about this. It's very practical. And this isn't even, I wouldn't even say this is the main reason, but this is a part of it. I know there will be people there that would be good to network with, right? And so it also makes sense from kind of a business perspective to go. Is that like totally like gross? You know what I mean? Like, am I an awful person for like...
No. Why would you think that was gross?
Because it's not super genuine, right? It's not like... I don't...
Oh, because you're like, well, I'm going to get something out of this?
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of like, ooh, I'm going to be there to smooth people.
We talked about this before, right? It's like, what is the problem you were trying to solve for other people? So why wouldn't you automatically be seeing it sort of from the other side, which is, I have something to offer people. Like, networking is, I have something to offer people.
Yeah,
these people may have a problem that I can help solve.
Yeah.
You know, I think the mistake is thinking that marketing, sales, that all of those things are slimy, creepy, disingenuous.
Well, they don't have to be.
There's an element. I think some people can be like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's an aspect of self-service to it. Like, you know, it's self-serving, right? Like, oh, I'm going to go to this social event because I might get, you know, I might be able to get some contacts out of it.
Yeah, but it's not
like I'm going there.
How many things do you do in life that are self-serving anyway? I mean,
I guess. And it's not like I'm
going to
be there.
If you were going for pure enjoyment, that would still be self-serving. You're going to enjoy yourself.
I guess so. That's true.
And
it's not like I'm going there like handing out my business card to everybody and like, hey, do you need a voice actor?
But you know you're not that guy. So I guess I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, I actually fully understand where you're coming from and why that would come up, because that would be something that would occur to me.
Yeah.
And I'm just sort of trying to be the voice of reason. But I'm not by no means saying that that wouldn't be the first thing that would jump into my mind, because it probably would. Like, I shouldn't do that. But really, no, I don't think you should worry. I think that's another great reason to go.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for helping me clarify that. And if anybody has any thoughts, if you're like listening and you're like, dude, that is pretty gross, let us know. Because
let us know in the comments. Wait.
Oh, no.
Are there comments?
Not really.
No, you have to email us, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, what was it again? Connect. Was it connect? Connect at.
The InsideVoicePodcast.com.
Yeah, connect at
the InsideVoicePodcast.com. We should really get that one rolling off the tongue a little better.
So we'll have to practice it. Okay. Well, I was just curious about that, but I did wanted to share that as a sort of, just sort of a fork in the road that I had to look at as an introvert. And personally, all things being equal, I would just rather go to dinner with Lacey and have some noodles and not have to talk to anybody. But I know that I don't grow and I don't, it's harder to develop as a human, you know, floating through life on this planet.
I mean, yes and no. Social interaction is important, but it's like,
yeah.
It's not the same for everyone, and not everyone gets the same out of it.
Fair. But what I'm saying is, for me, in that moment of decision, I really felt like it was an opportunity to push myself outside of my comfort level to grow. I've made other decisions where I had friends call me on a Friday night, and I really just wanted to stay home and work on stuff and have time to myself. So.
Okay, well, here's the thing that might resonate then. This is a really lovely YouTube video that I came across by BBC Ideas. It's called The Quiet Power of Introverts. It's by an animator and self-professed introvert. Now, I don't know quite how to pronounce her first name because it's S-O-F-J-A. So I assume it's Sophia or Sofia Umarik. So I'm going to give you some quotes from this because it's beautiful. And I think, I just like it. Mm-hmm. And it sort of goes a little more in depth as to maybe what introversion is, at least for this lovely animator.
I think that's awesome. Can I interrupt you for just a second before you read it? I think that's awesome because this is episode 6.
Yeah.
And we've talked a lot about being introverts. And I think it's fair to say neither you or I are healthcare professionals. We don't have any like clinical understanding of introversion versus extroversion. And this is episode 6, and but we've never really sort of defined or talked about what it is explicitly. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping you can share this, and that maybe that will lead into a discussion a little bit more about what is.
Always circle back to this because. Well, you know what? I'm just going to read the quotes that I pulled from her YouTube video.
Yeah.
And we can discuss. These are all quotes, okay? Our need for quiet and solitary time isn't a flaw. It's a gift. The world feels like a place that rewards extroverts, where being loud is mistaken for being confident and happy, where everyone has something to say, but nobody listens. A world of open plan offices, networking parties, and big personalities. For those who speak softly, it's easy to feel left out. People often think extroverts are shy or antisocial. So, and then it goes on to say that it isn't necessarily the case, but that extroverts will leave a party energized and an introvert will like need time alone to recharge afterwards. So then she goes on to say, there is a scientific theory for this. There are two important chemicals found in all our brains, dopamine and, I'm going to mispronounce this, acetylcholine. Dopamine is like a hit of energy when we take risks or meet new people, and it makes extroverts feel great. But introverts are more sensitive to dopamine and get quickly overstimulated. That's why we prefer the more slow burn we get when our brains release acetylcholine. That happens when we concentrate, read, or focus our minds. It makes us introverts feel relaxed, alert, and content, but it barely registers with extroverts. Of course, like anything, it's a sliding scale. You can lean one way or another, or be a bit of both, which is known as an ambivert. If introversion were more valued by society, it could make a massive difference to our collective future. The unique attributes of introverts really are a deep, quiet strength. And as Gandhi put it, in a gentle way, you can shake the world. So that was The Quiet That's Power awesome. Of Introverts on BBC Ideas by animator Sophia Umarik.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning her again so that we clearly giving her clear credit. And if you can email me a link to that, then I can put it in the show notes.
I absolutely will. I urge anyone to check it out. I it's not very long. I quoted probably like 50% of what she said in it. Mm-hmm. But it's really lovely. And her animation is really sweet as well.
What really struck me about that is I remember we were talking a little bit ago, and I had mentioned that I had read in one of the books that I'm reading that the majority of Americans are extroverts, and by a fair amount, and not introverts. And so I'm like, I was skeptical of that, and maybe I misread it. I very, very, very well misread it, because I was very skeptical of that. That didn't feel right to me, and that didn't feel like it matched my experience with people that I meet, although clearly that's not a big enough population to draw any conclusions. So I did look it up. I Googled it because I was really curious. It turns out that by population, introverts are 50.7% and extroverts are 49.3%, which is weird. First of all, that was surprising to me that it was so even.
Yeah.
That it was almost exactly 50-50, like within 10%. But what's weird about that is we very, very clearly live in a society that is extrovert forward, right? That
Well, and yeah, she and she says it in the video. She says the world feels like a place that rewards extroverts, and I feel that 100%. Yes.
Yeah, and that's exactly the, I think that's the line that hit me that really brought me to this.
Yeah.
And that's isn't that weird? As I was sort of like before I had understood what the numbers were, you know, I remember thinking, well, if we live in, but being aware that we live in a world that rewards extroverts and that promotes extroversion, it sets extroversion as sort of the ideal state. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, how different would the world be if it were majority introverts and minority extroverts? And it turns out, though, by a very slim margin, it is a majority introverts.
According to, I guess, one study, but sure, yeah.
Fair enough. But I imagine, however you slice it, it's going to be super close, that it's not, like, you'd think, I would think based on the world we live in, that we were at like a 60-40 split, like 60% of the population are extroverts. And
yeah,
40%
I would have thought
introverts.
It was way more skewed. I would have thought it was far fewer introverts. And also then I like the thing that she mentioned about, and I think it's a relatively new term, or at least being used more recently, the ambivert, which is being a bit of both. So basically kind of being average in terms of either. And I wonder if we start to factor that in, where most people would fall.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about how what you were talking about with Lacey and how, you know, she's really social and has tons of friends, and she's talking to them all the time, but you think she's also an introvert because of XYZ. And I thought, well, maybe she's an ambivert. I mean,
yeah. It
sounds
no, actually,
very
I
like
talked them. To her about that after.
And we
had
okay.
A, yeah, we did. We had a conversation about it. And actually, what sort of I think, if I remember, and I'd have to go back and listen, but in my mind, the conclusion that I had sort of come to by the end of you and I talking about it was that she really is an introvert. But because of her past, which I'm not at liberty to, it's not my story to tell, but because her past, the way she dealt with elements of her past was to really just go 100,000% social and being fully and completely in herself to an exaggerated, if you knew my, well, you do, but, to know my wife, you'd understand exactly what I mean. She's 150% herself, to the point of where she's somebody who really stands out in a crowd, right?
Right.
And so it would be really easy to see her as an extrovert because she's right. so willing to stand out. But in the end, I think what happened was she had a choice. I either curl up in a little ball and disappear, or I push myself out and I just really lean into who I am. And once she started doing that and standing out, she kind of got rewarded for that. And that encouraged her to do that more. And that really helped her overcome a lot of the stuff she was dealing with when she was in middle school, high school.
Right. And I think we're talking sort of like extenuating life circumstances versus, you know, where you naturally sort of would fall in terms of, you know, maybe the reward centers of your brain and what gives you energy and what depletes you and that kind of thing, which is sort of what Sophia Umarek is talking about in her video, is like that idea that introverts being more sensitive to dopamine and all that kind of stuff. So I also understand the idea of like stepping out of where you naturally might fall to for whatever reason, you know.
I want to say as a side note here, I want to be very careful because I think we're sort of wandering into exploring what it means to be an introvert. I want to be very careful that we're not, and I don't think anyone would think this, but I just want to set this as an intention, that we're not trying to gatekeep introversion. We're not trying to say, if you're not this way, you're not an introvert.
That wouldn't have occurred to me. Okay. I'm talking about one video that I found on YouTube by an animator that resonated with me and that I thought was some really good little ideas to think about. And I'm open to any other, like, whatever.
Yeah. I just wanted to sort of tag that, because anytime you start to say this is the definition of this thing, it may exclude people who know that they're that thing, right? And I just want to make sure that.
And I think she addresses that too. Like she does say, you know, that it's a sliding scale, and you know, you're going to lean one way or the other, or you might be right in the middle, or you might be, you know, more of an extreme of the two.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Something I ran across that I've been thinking about a lot, and I find it really interesting, is the idea of the four types of introverts.
Oh, I haven't heard about this.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Let's dive into that.
There are four. So this is a hypothesis. I don't know. It's a way of sort of categorizing different introverts that I thought was really interesting. And it's kind of interesting to think about them and figure out where you sort of land among the four. So the first one is the social introvert. And so a social introvert is they're not going to avoid going to a party, right? They're going to be willing to do that, to put themselves out there socially. They have good social skills. They have, you know, a good friend base. But once they've done that social thing, they've given all of their tokens, right? All of their coins or their cookies or their spoons or whatever metaphor you want to use.
Yeah.
And they then need to go recuperate, right? And they need to spend time alone to recover. So they're very socially engaged, but at a cost, as opposed to an extrovert who could be socially engaged, but they get energy from that, right?
Right.
The second is the thinking introvert, which is someone who, I think it's the type of person that we think of that's sort of always kind of stuck in their own brain and thinking their own thoughts and fantasizing a lot. And because they're really in their head a lot, they are less likely to be social and less likely to and have less of a need for social engagement or friends, or, you know, and so they would tend to have close friends that they could share that internal world with, I guess. But so that's sort of the introvert that you may know that's really kind of stuck in their head a lot. The third one it's hard to remember everything, isn't it? Anxious. That's right. So they're the anxious introverts.
Okay.
And so those are the people who would go to a party, but they'll kind of sit off to the side and they'd be afraid to say anything because they're so self-monitoring that they're afraid that they may say something, but then they'll be afraid that it hurts somebody's feelings or it upsets somebody or it caused harm in some way, or it made them look stupid.
Right. So a sort of hypervigilance or self-awareness or something. Yeah.
And they'll really feel it in their gut before they do a social thing, right? They'll feel that anxiety, I think.
Right.
And then the four is the restrained or the inhibited introvert. And these are the people that you know that are really, this is where the shyness cliche kind of comes from, or the trope.
Right.
These are the people, the introverts that really just are shy and really, they've had a hard time developing their social skills. If they get into a situation, they tend to just sort of shrink back and not want to participate.
Right. The sort of classic wallflower.
Yeah. And to be fair, I'm summarizing all of these to my understanding. So those are the four recognized types of introversion. And I find that really interesting to see it broken down that way.
Mm-hmm.
I will volunteer and say that I definitely think that I am self-identified. This isn't clinically identified as a thinking introvert. That's just, I have so many times have to apologize for being stuck in my head and not paying attention to what people have said, because somebody will say something, maybe even you, Louise, you'll say something, and that will spin my mind off into this whole thought world that I'm then no longer still with you for the second, for the end of what you're saying. And
right.
I really struggle with that.
I think I'm similar. And I mean, I think, as we've already sort of reiterated, that these would all be on the sliding scale also.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that was the one that resonated the most with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a tendency to sort of my mind will wander, or I spend a lot of time, you know, thinking and that kind of thing. And I've actually really, so listening has become a skill I have worked hard to develop.
What?
What?
Sorry.
What are you talking about? I'm sorry. Where were we?
Yes. Were you saying something? Yes.
And if Irv, my partner, I mean, if he's listening, he will start laughing, because there are so many times where I'm like, what did you just say? And it's something I've responded to even.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know tons of people are going to be like, oh, I do that all the time. It's probably not. It's not exclusively an introversion thing, but that is definitely part of what manifests for me. Working hard on listening and being curious about other people has helped me enormously. So that's a strategy that I've implemented, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not saying there's nothing wrong with any of these things. You know, being an introvert is not inherently a bad thing. You know, it's not a clinical diagnosis as far as I'm aware.
And
if it is, then it should extend that an extroversion is its own clinical diagnosis,
and
as
we've just seen, and as we've just seen, if over half the population is introverted, then you're normal, right? Like you're like more than normal. So
Yeah, it's just that the world, in Sophia Umarik's words, the world feels like a place that rewards extroverts. We were talking about it a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember which episode, but just talking about how the corporate world, you know, the office mm-hmm. world really rewards it. Actually, she touched on it with open plan offices, like that nightmare.
Yeah.
I could not.
I would also point to icebreakers, right? Like this is something that we've talked about in the past, I know, but I think extroverts, if it's a good icebreaker, extroverts tend to like see it as a great opportunity to get to talk to people and get to know people. Introverts, maybe I shouldn't speak for all of us, view icebreakers as like awful, terrifying, horrible things that are torture that you should not ask us to do, right? But it's a part of corporate culture. And anytime you go to a workshop or a conference or a master class, well, you wouldn't really do master class for your corporate job, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's horrendous. And can I tell this little story?
Because
I just thought of it in terms of like corporate culture. So In the career that I left, I gave them quite a lot of notice. It was like 3 months notice or something. And over the year or so prior, the owner of the company had actually hired sort of like a consultant type of person who, I don't know how, they help the organization I don't really know how. It's hard for me to put into words because it's so not something that that resonates me or that I fully understand or saw the benefits of. So anyway, so this kind of person that was hired would come in once a week and help us with like meetings and strategies and that kind of thing. And along with that came this test that we all had to fill out that was kind of like a...
Oh, was it like the Myers-Briggs or whatever?
Yeah, it was sort of like that, but completely different, apparently. And the results were pretty fascinating and pretty darn accurate. And one of the things that came out of mine was like... Louise hates being the center of attention and like, don't put her in a room surrounded by people and ask her to like start talking, you know. This is just one thing that stood out. Like there were a multitude of things that were very accurate. I wish I could remember the name of the test because like I actually would highly recommend it for organizations because I think used properly, it could have helped that organization in how to best deal with people, how to best support people given their particular personalities and what would work for them, right?
Yeah.
As we're saying, the lens of corporate culture tends to lean one way, and that is extroversion.
Yeah.
So just to wrap this up, this is the climax of the story now. On my last day, this coach person had everybody gather around. I don't know how many people it was. It was a small organization, so I'm gonna say maybe 40 people.
Oh, okay, that's more than I was thinking.
Which is a huge amount of people to me.
Yeah.
And kind of give like a big cheer and a goodbye, whatever to me. And I was like basically put directly in the middle of all of this. And the coach person actually said, you know, even though we know Louise like hates this and so they did it. And I, even though it was my last day and it was very well-meaning and like all of the intellectual things that go along with like reasoning your way to try and be comfortable with something or be appreciative of it or all of those things. It didn't matter what I told myself or what I knew the like intellectually was true. It made me want to crawl into a hole and die. Like I almost started crying, but not from like the sort of emotional weight of leaving an organization that I'd been with for a long time. I mean, that might have been there a little bit, but it was more like I felt so uncomfortable. And it was, you know, seconds. I mean, it didn't even last very long, but I remember it. It was my last day. It's the thing that I remember the most. And it was so negative for me. Now, this person wasn't setting out to be like unkind.
Yeah.
It was almost sort of like a tongue-in-cheek joke. Oh, Like we all know how Louise feels about being put on the spot.
Yeah.
In front of everyone. And I just was like, oh my God, get me out of here.
And I was going to ask, like not knowing how that story is going to end, I was going to ask if that might have made a difference. Like if to acknowledge that it's a challenging thing for you to do, but say, we know this is hard for you, but would you still be willing to do it? If that made it any easier or not?
No, it was on the spot. I was not asked.
Yeah.
It was just everybody gather around and I don't remember if they all sort of said something all at once and then kind of gave like this gigantic group hug kind of.
Oh my God.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if this
horrendous.
Is an introversion thing or not, but any sort of group buy-in thing, I have a
real
hard time.
I can't do it. Like and we're even right now, I'm just getting anxiety.
From small to large, like you know, there are these sort of like I forget the name of it. There's an organization where you go to the meetings and they like get you excited about. Motivated and life, blah blah blah. And
yeah,
I just know I couldn't buy into that. Maybe I was inoculated against that with my Catholic upbringing. Maybe I don't know. That's a hypothesis that I have.
I didn't realize you had a Catholic upbringing. Actually,
yeah.
This explains so much. Just
it
kidding.
Does, right?
Yeah, yeah. No,
it explains everything. Actually.
So
I, yeah,
there you go.
I, I'm not gonna suggest that we've defined, because we didn't really set out at the beginning of this, but this was an interesting sort of that we've defined introversion. But it was really, I think this was nice. This was fun to sort of share. Like, I think you knew a little bit, and I knew a little bit, and that was nice.
Yeah, it's sort of because it got me thinking about, well, we haven't really talked about sort of the quote unquote definition.
Yeah.
And they seem to vary a little bit. Like I think you had said actually that like the dictionary, I don't know if it was Merriam-Webster or if it was the OED, but said something about like shyness.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's a misconception. It may be part of it for some people, but it's, yeah.
Exactly.
So it's good to discuss. What the other prevailing thoughts are around that out there, and what
I think one thing that I can say is, and we've touched on this before, but I just want to reiterate it. And I think there's a good chance most introverts will get behind this. Is that I think it's nearly impossible to look at somebody that you know, look at their actions that you see, and know and be able to determine whether they are an introvert or an extrovert. Because a lot of introverts, you don't know what the internal impact is of what you're seeing them do. So until you really get to know somebody.
Things can make people spiral. Yeah, for
sure.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I've been with my wife for a little while now, and you know, we've been married for 10 years, 9 years. And that was a tricky question for me. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's just really hard. It's really hard to look at somebody or look at their actions and say is or is not an introvert.
And it's funny because Irv and I were talking because we've been together. How long have we been together? 6 years? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just over 6 years. And I said, did I get it right? Like about us both being introverts, but him being more likely to be more comfortable around more people, like, and actually go up and speak to people and not be a wallflower. And he was like, oh, absolutely. And then I was like, what about the icebreaker thing? Because you had said, okay, well, which one of you would be more likely to put your hand up if you had to do the icebreaker thing? And I said, whoa, like neither of us.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, we would probably look at each other, roll our eyes, hate the whole thing, but I would totally take one for the team and get up and do the icebreaker.
Yeah.
So he definitely can push past it and laugh it off, and it might not cause him as much anxiety, but he's certainly not like raring to go on that.
Yeah.
Front. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's,
anyways,
I think that's where we are with it.
This was super interesting. I'm glad that we explored that a bit more.
And I think it's something we'll continue to talk about and explore, I hope. So it'd be nice to have somebody with some actual clinical or...
I hate the word clinical because it sounds like it's like, and it's a disorder.
I'm hesitant to use the word mental health professional.
Or even healthcare professional. Yeah, I don't even know where that comes from for you. But
maybe that's something
to explore.
So somebody who has scientific understanding of...
Scientific understanding, I think, is a better way to phrase that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'd be nice to find somebody that did, that we could talk to a little bit. Because it's weird. There's so much pop science, socially accepted ideas of introversion and extroversion. And it'd be nice to talk to somebody who's done some research or studied research behind that to see what the truth is. But
totally. Yeah.
Or we can all just learn from Facebook and YouTube and TikTok.
I mean, that's the way the world's going, right? I mean, that's where I get. No.
All right. Maybe we should wrap it up. We've been at this for 48 minutes and 50 seconds. So, yeah. It was really good talking to you again.
It was really good talking to you, too.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
So, are we doing a little tagline contest thing again?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, I was going to write some down and like
brainstorm
some. Oh, no,
you can't do that. It has
before.
To be on the spot anyway.
Oh, it does, it does.
So
that
we
does.
Have
okay.
a big awkward silence like every
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I was thinking in post, I should put some like cricket sounds so people don't think that like their network has just like dropped out. is this thing on? Okay. So I don't, actually, now that I said that, I don't have any ideas.
Yeah, now that you've boxed us into a corner of having to do it live and on the show. Okay, so a play, it's got to be a play on the word inside voice. So it could be a play on the word inside. I think we've leaned on that pretty heavily, which is okay.
We've
that makes sense.
We've leaned on that, yeah.
Let me think about what we've talked about today and see if there's anything that relates. I don't know.
How about something riffing on Sophia Umarek's video of The Quiet Power of Introverts? Something about
helping you tap into the quiet power.
Helping you tap into the quiet power of your inside voice.
Ah, I like it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Go.
Yeah.
You want to do the first part?
Yeah.
We're going to screw it up. I love that we screw it up every time. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Thanks for joining us. How do we phrase it if it's helping you tap in? Helping you tap in to the
power of your inside voice.
Quiet power of your inside
voice. Oh, the quiet power. How about you say helping you tap into the quiet power, and then I say the second part.
Of your inside voice. Okay.
Is that enough?
Yep. Helping you... helping you tap into the quiet power of
your inside voice.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good contender. I like that. Yeah. That's fun. As long as she doesn't have that trademarked and
hopefully,
we give her credit.
I mean,
that's where we got it
from. We're not making
any
money off it, so I don't think.
Okay. Yay. All right, bye. Bye, Louise.
Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Inside Voice. If you have a topic suggestion, a question, or would like to challenge your introverted self by being interviewed on the podcast, email us at connect@theinsidevoicepodcast.com.